God has an encouraging word for you and me today through the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton and a message on angels. The encouraging word. Yes, I did say angels, and I'm not trying to be funny about Christmas in July, but I am telling you that right now is the perfect time to dive into God's Word and study this concept of something that in some ways has been, I think, misrepresented. You're going to get great insight, biblical insight from Dr. Don Wilton in these next few days studying on angels. And what angels do is where we'll start today. We'll be beginning in Revelation chapter 16 in a moment, but Dr. Don wants you to know we're here for you. One of the things we love to do is pray for you. 866-899-WORD will connect you with us right now or anytime, day or night. 866-899-9673. We would love to pray with and for you. And now, today's message, What Angels Do, with Dr. Don Wilton.
We are studying what the Bible has to teach us concerning angels. And I will tell you quite readily that the Lord has been teaching me so much through His Word, and my own life has become blessed very much indeed. And probably the overriding thing that I have discovered is that in the study of angels, that God constantly and totally points our minds to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where He wants our focus to be. He doesn't want our focus to be on angels, because that would violate His Word. He wants our focus to be on Himself. And so the question is, what about angels? And I want you to go on a rather extraordinary journey with me. And our subject is going to be what angels do. We're trying to draw up a biblical profile of angels. What do they look like, and how do they sound, and what are they about? We've looked at what they are not. Well, what is it that they do? And then we're going to look at who they are, what angels are. I'm going to read a passage of Scripture that relate to angels. I'm not going to necessarily preach on that passage, because every one of my points is going to come from different passages all over Scripture. So you need your Bibles. I'm going to read to you a passage of Scripture in the book of Revelation chapter 16. Now, I want to say this before I do this. This is not a very nice passage to read. In fact, boys and girls, there are some very, very ugly things in this passage. Because what the Bible is talking about, this world as we know it, without all the believers here. If you've given your heart to Jesus and you've trusted Him as your personal Savior, Revelation chapter 16 is talking about what is going to happen to all the people who are left behind, who have said no to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's one of the reasons why it's so important to know Him. But I want us to read this passage, because angels play a very prominent part in end times. Revelation chapter 16, this is during the tribulation. Then I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, "Go, pour out the seven bowls of God's wrath on the earth." The first angel went and poured out his bowl on the land, and ugly and painful sores broke out on the people who had the mark of the beast and had worshipped His image. That is the number 666. The second angel poured out his bowl on the sea, and it turned into blood like that of a dead man, and every living thing in the sea died. The third angel poured out his bowl on the rivers and springs of water, and they became blood. Then I heard the angel in charge of the waters say, "You are just in these judgments. You who are and who were the Holy One, because you have so judged. For they have shed the blood of your saints and prophets, and you have given them blood to drink as they deserve." And I heard the altar respond, "Yes, Lord God Almighty, true and just are your judgments." Verse 8, the fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and the sun was given power to scorch people with fire. They were seared by the intense heat, and they cursed the name of God who had control over these plagues. But they refused to repent and glorify God. The fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and his kingdom was plunged into darkness. Men gnawed their tongues in agony and cursed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, but they refused to repent of what they had done. The sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its water was dried up to prepare the way for the kings from the east. Then I saw three evil spirits. If you would just look at me for a moment, we're about to talk about the unholy Trinity. Remember the Trinity, or the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Antichrist represents the unholy Trinity. And there are three persons in the unholy Trinity. Here they are in verse 13. I saw three evil spirits that looked like frogs. They came out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. There are the three who represent the unholy Trinity. Now remember that this is talking about the tribulation. This is following the rapture of the church, when all believers are taken to be with the Lord Jesus. All believers are going to be in heaven. The tribulation is going to go on for 7 years, and it is going to be manifest through the unholy Trinity. Here they are, the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. Verse 14, they are spirits of demons performing miraculous signs. They go out to the kings of the whole world to gather them for battle on the great day of God Almighty. That is a direct reference to the Battle of Armageddon, which is going to take place in a specific area in Israel called Megiddo, or the place of Armageddon, or Har-Megiddo, which is the hill of Megiddo. It is a massive valley. Look what God has to say about this in verse 15. Behold, I come like a thief. Blessed is he who stays awake and keeps his clothes with him, so that he may not go naked and shamefully exposed. Then they, that is the holy, unholy Trinity, gathered the kings together to the place that in Hebrew is called Armageddon. The seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and out of the temple came a loud voice from the throne saying, "It is done." Then there came flashes of lightnings, rumblings, peals of thunder, and a severe earthquake. No earthquake like it had ever occurred since man had been on earth. So tremendous was the quake. The great city split into three parts, and the cities of the nations collapsed. God remembered Babylon the Great and gave her the cup filled with the wine of the fury of God's wrath. Every island fled away, and the mountains could not be found. From the sky, huge hailstones of about 100 pounds each fell upon men, and they cursed God on account of the plague of hail, because the plague was so terrible. I'm so grateful to make an announcement to you today. There is not one person living who needs to go through what the angels of God are going to pour out upon this world. That is why Jesus Christ died upon a cross. And this morning, I'm going to give you an opportunity, the same opportunity that God gives to all of us, to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. I'm going to invite you in just a moment to step out from your seat and to make your way down to the front and take me by the hand and say, "Pastor, I've given my life to Jesus Christ. I know that I belong to Him. My sins are forgiven. And I know that one day when I die, or if Jesus were to come back first, I'm going to be taken by God's angels right there into the heavenly places to be seated at the right hand of the Father, which is in heaven." So what is it that these angels are about? What is it that angels do? Let's go on a journey together. I want you to take your Bibles, and we're going to be flipping backward and forward, and I'm not going to promise you anything, because we're going to just simply study God's Word together. So fasten your seat belts. What do angels do? Number one, angels give direction. Angels give direction. I want you to turn back to the book of Acts in chapter 8. We're going to just use this as an example right now. The book of Acts and chapter 8. Remarkable There are so many passages that I want to go to, but we're going to be laying these foundational principles, see where God leads us concerning what it is that angels do according to the Scriptures. We're going to be formulating our biblical profile, keeping our thoughts and minds always on the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to read to you Acts chapter 8 and verse 26. Wonderful to hear those pages rustling and turning. You can write down your first point. Number one, angels give direction. This is very profound. It's very important to understand this. Verse 26, now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, Philip, go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. Isn't that remarkable? Notice who this was, an angel. Who did the angel belong to? An angel of the Lord. Who did he speak to? A specific person, one person by the name of Philip. What did he tell him? Something very specific. He told him what to do, when to do, where to go. He said, go down. I want you to go south down that road there. I want you to go to the one that's the desert road. You know the one I'm talking about, Philip. And I want you to go to the one that goes all the way down between Jerusalem and Gaza. Now, I want you to listen to this because this is absolutely mind-boggling. One of the greatest challenges that present themselves to you and to me as believers is this whole issue of knowing and doing the will of God. I'm going to be perfectly open with you today, and I'm going to say to you that if there's anywhere in which I struggle sometimes, most of all, it's in knowing and doing the will of God. Have you ever asked this question, Lord, what is it you want me to do? Where is it you want me to go? How is it you want me to do this? When do you want me to begin? Should I go on this mission trip or shouldn't I? I mean, we've just got lots of questions. And you know, God speaks to us. How does God speak to us? How does God tell us about His will? Well, many ways. He uses godly people like yourselves today. He uses His Word like He is today. Most of all, He uses the Spirit of God. He speaks to us through the Spirit of God. He speaks to us through coming to church together. He speaks to us through the circumstances of our lives. But I'm going to show you something this morning, folks. Did you know that God uses His angels to tap into this incredible thing called knowing and doing the will of God? God uses angels on occasions to give us direction.
You're listening to Dr. Don Wilton here on The Encouraging Word, and we'll be back with more of this message on angels in just a moment. But as Dr. Don was talking about how God gives us direction, one of the key foundations of direction as a follower of Christ is spending time in the book, the manual, God's Encouraging Word. If you're not signing up for the Daily Encouraging Word email, I challenge you to consider doing it. You can opt out. It's easy to say, oh, nope, this is not something I want. But I believe you'll see that these moments of studying God's Word every day in that email that pops into your email box about 6 a.m. Eastern will encourage you in a deep way to spend more time in God's Word, but also to take God's Word with you with an application from Dr. Wilton that will help you grow in your faith. Again, that's all easily signed up for at TEWonline.org, or you can even call for your copy at 866-899-9673. We'd be happy to send you a hard copy, a little quarterly book we put together. That's a free for the asking at 866-899-9673. Now back to today's message with Dr. Don.
Now, what are the three most important questions that we have to ask concerning knowing and doing the will of God? Here they are. Number one, where to go? It's all related to where. Number two, what to do or to say. And number three, when to go. Here are the three most important questions when it comes to doing the will of God. Number one, where? Number two, what? Number three, when do I start? Now, folks, listen to this. The Bible is going to show us, even this morning, that God uses His commissioned officers, God uses His secret agents, to tap into the mind of God as an expression or a courier or a carrier of the mind of God. God uses His angels to answer these three abiding questions. Number one, where? Number two, what? And number three, when? In other words, what God is saying to us here is, listen, the angel's timing always coincides perfectly with God's timing. God thinks, God determines, the angel transmits, we act. And when the angel steps into gear, God's timing is absolutely perfect. God's angel comes and gives me direction. Now, you're going to say to me, and we're going to talk about this as time goes by, how do I distinguish between God's angel and the person and work of the Holy Spirit? I'm going to tell you right now, folks, Dr. Billy Graham wrote what I consider to be the most inspirational book on angels. Many of you I know have read it. But Dr. Graham made this statement, which I appreciate and which I agree with so much. He said, it is very, very difficult for a believer to distinguish all the time between the work of an angel and the work of the Holy Spirit. You see, friends, it's not something that we need to be caught up in trying to make that distinction. Besides that, God says, listen, in many ways, angels are going to operate like the Holy Spirit. Why? Because when they do operate, you're not even going to know they're angels operating. Even if they are angels. God is going to work in a way that God wants to work because God's determined to work that way. Angels give direction. Well, the angels are going to tell me when I need to get married. The angels are going to tell me after a couple of years when we need to start a family. The angels are going to help me, if it's God's choosing, to know whether I should go in this direction or that direction, whether I should go to this college or that college. Angels are going to participate in literally carrying forth the will and the mind of God in a practical outworking one-on-one with me individually. The direction of the angel of God is individually based in the expression of the mind of God on every unique individual. No wonder God tells us that He has legions of angels. Number two. Angels wait for orders. Angels wait for orders. Now, folks, just hold on to your seats. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. This is just remarkable. Matthew chapter 26. I've got to show you something. Now, while you're turning to Matthew chapter 26, let me just remind you about something. Here is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. This is God's Son. This is God. He is God. And Jesus Christ is in the Garden of Gethsemane, and He is weeping and He is praying and pleading with God the Father. They are about to come and arrest Him, march Him through the Kidron Valley, take Him to the house of Caiaphas. They're about to then transfer Him from there to the temple. They're going to put Him up in front of Pontius Pilate. They're going to beat Him. They're going to put a crown of thorns on His head. They're going to slap that Roman cross on His back. They're going to put a robe on His back. They're going to march Him down the Via Doloroso. They're going to march Him up to Golgotha, the place of the skull. They're going to slap those nails into His hands. They are going to mock Him and spit in His face, and they are going to crucify Him. And Jesus Christ is right there in the Garden of Gethsemane talking to God, and He knows about the agony of the cross. And what does Jesus see? He sees some puny little, weakling little men who think they are so macho and tough. They're called Roman soldiers. And all they've got is silly little swords in their hands and shields and helmets. And they're walking around high-fiving each other. I can't even imagine what the conversation is going on at the foot of the cross, do you? They're mocking Him. They say, I mean, who does He think He is? I mean, look at Him now. I mean, He calls Himself the King of the Jews. What a sorry-looking character. I should imagine, folks, you've never heard blasphemy like you did at the foot of the cross. And here is Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he knows that he is about to go through the agony of the cross. And in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 53, this is what we read. Do you not think that I cannot call on my Father, and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? Here is Jesus Christ upon his knees in the garden, knowing the agony that lies before him. And God from heaven begins to speak through Jesus Christ the Son. And we are reminded in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18 that God can do whatever God does because he has given all authority and power to the Son. And in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 28, Jesus said, all authority in heaven and upon earth is given to me, and I can command the legions of the angels. And if those mealy-mouthed little Roman soldiers down there think that they can do anything to harm the Son of Man, they don't even understand that I have the power and the capacity to call upon the legions of angels that would just simply come and obliterate them from the face of the earth. So what are the angels doing? They're just sitting around waiting for his orders. One of my favorite statements, you know, is sometimes I sits and thinks and other times I just sits. Well, folks, I'm going to tell you that angels spend a lot of time just sits. They're just waiting for orders. They're just waiting for orders. What does this tell us about them? It tells us, my friends, three things. It tells us that they epitomize, number one, perfect obedience. Angels are about discipleship. We are a disciple-making church. Angels epitomize perfect obedience. Number two, angels epitomize perfect timing. And number three, angels epitomize perfect patience. Doesn't the Bible say somewhere, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength? About 1991, I was in Scotland, and I was standing downtown Edinburgh, Scotland, and all of a sudden, here comes all these policemen. And here I am, just get the picture, I'm standing right here on the sidewalk, and there's this main road in downtown Edinburgh. And all of a sudden, there are policemen and cops all over the place, and this big black car with a flag on it pulls up, I mean, right in front of me. I said, how did they even know I was here? I mean, has the Prime Minister sent this for me? And folks, there's pomp. There are people running all over the place, and I'm standing on the sidewalk. And I'm looking here, and this motor car pulls a big old thing with a big flag on the front right in front of me, and the door opens, and none other than Princess Diana gets out. She says, hi, Don, I just came. No, she didn't. I tell you, she was one very beautiful lady. And she got out of that motor car, folks, and that door opened, and I can still see her stepping out, and she stepped out right on that pavement, and she looked straight at me. And when she got out on that pavement, I was backing up against the wall, and I said, you know, I'm in the wrong place. My wife should be here now. She'd be getting far more out of this. And I looked at her, and there were people all over the place, and people running, and cameras going off, and all the other things that were going on. And two ladies got out of the same motor car, one out of the front and one out of the back, walked around. And do you know what they did, folks? They walked up, they brushed off a little bit on her back, they straightened this, they did that, they walked around her. She walked straight toward me. She said, hello. I said, hello. And she walked straight into the shop. I can't remember. The shop had all kinds of stuff, you know. I mean, where is my wife when I need it? All kinds of frilly stuff, you know. Laces and tablecloths and just white linens and stuff like that. Just stuff. It was just full of it. Just a beautiful shop. She walked straight past me with these two ladies right behind her. I mean, they went straight into the shop. I turned around and I watched her through the window, folks. When she picked up a book, they handed it to her. When she was for something, she touched this and pulled that. She does just what my wife does in those shops. Touch this and pull that and stroke this. And those ladies, they were hovering around her. They did this, they did that. They did all kinds of things. I mean, they would, you know who those ladies were, folks? They called ladies in waiting. And those two ladies were there literally at the beck and call of Princess Diana. Anything she wanted at any time, in any place. She wanted to sit down, they'd get her a seat. She wanted to drink a Coke, they'd get her something to drink. She wanted a toothbrush, they'd get her a toothbrush. She wanted to move up, they'd move her. She wanted anything she wanted, they would do for her. The angels of God wait for orders. They are there at God's command to do what God wants them to do so that you and I can know Him.
Oh, we're just getting started about angels and, more importantly, as Dr. Don said, the ways that we can know God and to live for God. If the Lord has stirred your heart in this time together, maybe there are questions you have that we can help you discover in God's encouraging word. Our phone number is 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. We'd love to speak with you, to encourage you, to pray for you, and help you find resources. You can go to the website as well at tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org. Or perhaps, maybe the most important thing is not to talk to us, but to talk to God. Would you open your heart to what Dr. Don wants to challenge you to do next?
Are you ready to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Why don't you pray this prayer with me right now? Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner, and I know that Jesus died for me on the cross. Today, I repent of my sin, and by faith, I receive you into my heart. In Jesus' name. My friend, I welcome you today into the family of God. This is exciting news.
Perhaps you've made a decision to follow Christ, to rededicate your life. If so, Dr. Don has a wonderful packet of information he wants you to have absolutely free. But we need to hear from you. Give us a call at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Or online, discover great resources like this called The Great Awakening.
Our nation is in trouble. Many voices are speaking in our world. We must learn to apply biblical truths to the times in which we now live. With your gift of support to the Encouraging Word this month, you will receive Dr. Wilton's classic and timely message, The Great Awakening, Biblical Truths in Perilous Times. Messages include The Antichrist, Apostasy, Part 1 and 2, and What One Man Can Do for a Nation. This message will be sent to you for your gift of $20 or more in support of the Encouraging Word. Call us at 866-899-WORD to request The Great Awakening, Biblical Truths in Perilous Times today. The Encouraging Word is a viewer and listener-supported ministry. Thank you for listening today.
Tomorrow we'll continue this study in angels. I hope you'll join us. Invite a friend to join us as well. And remember, we're here for you 24 hours a day at tewonline.org and 866-899-9673.